them, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away." And his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full, and there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. And immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Truly, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." And he left them, got into the boat again, and went to the other side. Now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only 1 loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?"
Good morning. My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Calvary. It's an honor to be here this morning and to open the Word of God together. We're continuing in the series Questions Jesus Asked, and our desire through the series is that as we look at these questions, that there are questions that Jesus has asked people in his ministry, but as the Word of God and as these questions that come from Jesus, we really actually want them to be asked of us and to examine us. And as Jesus is living today, our hope is that through these interactions, we see more of who the living Jesus is, the Jesus who lives today and desires to interact with us through his word. And so a question that you will likely ask if you walk with Jesus for any amount of time is, "Jesus, do you see what I'm going through? Do you care? Are you? Are you present in the midst of what I'm going through? Do you see? Do you care? And are you able to do anything about it?" You can think about moments in your own life where you've gone through trial or issue, and you've asked the question, "Jesus, where were you in the middle of that? Where were you in the midst of my chronic suffering? Where were you in the midst of that hardship? Where were you in the midst of that loss? Do you care? Do you see?" And what we're going to see in the story that we just read today is that Jesus is not distant, but he is caring and compassionate, that he sees. And not only does he see, but he's able to do something about our condition. And so the main thing that we're going to see today is that whatever we're going through, whatever hardship, we can trust Jesus because he cares and he provides. Because he cares and he provides for us and for others. And so we can trust Jesus because he cares, but not only that, because he's able to provide for us and others. So the first thing we're going to look at in this story is the fact that Jesus cares, that we can trust Jesus because he cares. So verses 1-3, we see this large crowd has gone out to follow Jesus. And let's read this again. "In those days, when a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples and said to them, 'I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away.'" Now, if you think about this crowd, they've been following Jesus for 3 days. They want to be with Jesus. They want to hear from him, to learn from him, to be around him. And it's been now 3 days, and likely they would have brought out some food at first to be with him, but now they're in this desolate place, this wilderness-like region, and they have nothing to eat. And what we see is that Jesus sees the crowd, and he has compassion on them. He's even thinking about their journey home, that he doesn't want them to faint on the way home. And he says, they've come out to be with me. And now if I just send them off, I don't know how they're going to fare on their way home. And so he has this overwhelming compassion for them as these people who have come out to be with him. And I think one of the things that's fascinating about this is just the way that we see the care of Jesus for such a seemingly small need. He sees the crowd and he knows that they're hungry. He knows that they need a meal, and he actually cares for them. And his heart is full of this compassion for them in their midst of their need. And may this is where we find ourselves today, that as we follow Jesus, we encounter hardship, difficulty, suffering. And maybe we wonder, Jesus, okay, where are you in the midst of this? We see this story and we see this need. And the truth is that when we follow Jesus, problems aren't going to go away in our lives. You'll still deal with sickness. You'll still deal with suffering. You'll still deal with hardship. You might find yourself like this crowd in a desolate place. But what's even more interesting is that it's not merely that as they were following Jesus up in this condition, but it actually seems like because they were following Jesus, they end up in this hard circumstance. Why are they in the wilderness? Because they wanted to be with Jesus. They were those who said, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. I'm going to be here with Christ the King. They're like Mary at the feet of Jesus, wanting to hear or learn and be with Jesus. And now they're in this desolate place because they followed Jesus. And the truth is that sometimes it's actually because we follow Jesus. And then in the life of a Christian, it's because we decide to follow him that we will face suffering. You've probably heard about Step Seminary in Haiti some by now, but they're one of our partners in Haiti who trains up pastors and ministers and sends them out throughout Haiti and throughout other areas as well. But one of the things that is happening in Haiti right now is there's just an increasing instability that's been growing for a number of years. And one of the most convicting and encouraging things for me about talking to some of our Haitian brothers and sisters has actually been hearing some of their story of their sense of calling to be in Haiti. Many have had to flee the nation, and some have said, hey, I actually have a specific sense of calling to be here for this season. And I think about that, a sense of calling to say, okay, I'm going to follow Jesus, and I sense that he's calling me to be here in this place where there's danger of hunger, there's danger of kidnappings, there's danger of instability, and yet the sense of calling of I will go wherever the Lord leads me to go. And that's a situation where I think about it's actually because they're following Jesus that they may enter into a desolate place or hardship. And we think about it in our own lives. There's times where actually because we follow Jesus, it changes the way that we do things. It changes the way we interact with others, the relationships we enter into or don't, or step out of. It changes the way that we may decide to do our job or where we may decide to live. It's going to change so many aspects of our life as we center our lives around Christ. And what we see in the story to start is that Jesus sees this crowd who has come out to be with him. And he honors that. He sees that they have come out to be with him, and he has compassion on them, and he doesn't want to send them away hungry. Now, it's important that we see that Jesus cares, but another question you have to ask with Jesus caring is, can he do anything about it? Because if Jesus cares, he's compassionate, and he's kind towards them, but he's not able to do anything about it, well, then it really isn't going to mean much. You can think about it like this. Sometimes we want someone just to listen to us, right? And if you're married or just have any friendship, you know this. Sometimes you just need to listen to someone. And the best thing you can do is just have some compassion, hear what's going on, and they just need a listening ear. But you also know there's times where we don't just need a listening ear. Some of our wilderness trips, when we send out wilderness trips, there are Calvary Wilderness, so there's backpacking, going out into the wilderness, one of the things that we do is we send a satellite phone with the leaders. Because we know that if it really comes down to a situation, we want to have that phone call so that you can get out. And if you are out in the wilderness and you are in a place of desperation, you get some stomach bug or something, you don't know what's going on, and you're in this place where you say, okay, I need to get out of here. You know that you want to be able to call, and you don't just want to have a compassionate voice on the other end of the phone. You want someone who's going to be able to bring you out. If I call someone, I don't want them just to hear about my condition. I'm saying, I need help. I'm in a desolate place. Unless you bring me out, I am going to starve. Please send help. And so the question is not just does Jesus care? He does. His heart is flowing with compassion. But what is he able to do for these people? What is he able to do for us in our time of deep need? In verse 4, we see that Jesus has expressed his compassion for the people, and the disciples ask. Verse 4 says, and his disciples answered him, how can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? How can we feed these people in this desolate place is what the disciples are wondering. Now think with me for a moment about the disciples. They're first century Jews. In their story as a people, they should have in their mind some sort of a category about how God could feed a people in a desolate place or a wilderness. Like, it had been 40 years. They know the story that the Jews, the Israelites, were brought out of slavery in Egypt, and for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness, and God fed them with bread from heaven. He sustained their every need. But not only that, what's interesting is that the disciples have already actually seen Jesus do a miraculous feeding. There's already been a time where they were in a desolate place and Jesus feeds 5,000 men and women and children with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So this is part of their story as God's people. It's something they would remember constantly. And it's also something they've seen in the life of Jesus. But it seems that they still don't quite get who is this Jesus. So they wonder, how could this happen? How can we feed this needy crowd in this desolate wilderness place? Now, they easily forget, but if we're honest, we can relate with the disciples. If you've come to know Christ, then you've come from a desolate place. You've come from enslavement to sin and death, and Christ has brought you out. He's given you his life. And it's probably many times in your life you could remember and look back, God got me through these circumstances where I didn't know how he was going to get me through. But like we see here, it's easy to forget. And Jesus asked them, okay, so how many loaves do you have in verse 5? And they said 7. So this is the first question we see asked by Jesus. And we'll actually see 8 more. They'll come all together, but there's going to be 9 questions. So if you are in this series, questions Jesus asked, just so you know, this is like the bonus morning. You get 9 questions in one sermon. I think Zach can even take next week off because of that. And so his question, this first one is, how many loaves do you have? And they say 7. Now, if you're doing the math, you think, okay, that's not enough for this massive crowd. 4,000 people, they're going to need more. But what we're going to see, and here's the principle, that it's not really about what they have. What's far more important is the one they give it to. And what this is going to happen here is that Jesus is going to show that he himself is abundant to provide everything that's needed. So verses 6 to 10, the story goes on, and they give what they have to Christ. It says, and he directed the crowd to sit on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them. So Jesus gives thanks, he breaks the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 basketfuls. And there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. Immediately he went into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. So Jesus thanks the Father. He recognizes that this blessing is from him. He blesses the food. It's sent out, and this whole crowd is saved from their hunger, and they're satisfied in this wilderness place. Just as God had provided food for the people of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years, here is Christ. Here's Jesus, and he's providing this feast, this table in the wilderness for this people in their time of need. He saves them from their from going home hungry and from being in a desolate place, fainting on the way, and he satisfies them because he is enough in the midst of a desolate place to provide what is needed. And Jesus is showing in this mighty act that he's the Messiah, the Christ, the one who the Jews have been waiting for, who's going to save the people. He's showing that he is able to provide for the needs of his people. And one thing that's interesting here is he's in a region that is a little bit beyond the normal boundaries of the Jewish people. This is likely more of a Gentile region. And the significance of that is it seems that Jesus is showing himself to be the Savior, not just of the Jews, but of the whole world. It's just showing that he's the Messiah, the Savior, the one who has come for all people. And so Jesus in this act is showing something about who he is, about the abundance that he is in the midst of the wilderness, about the ability that he has to save and satisfy, the compassion that he has, but also the ability he has to provide for us in our time of need. So we see in the story that we can trust Jesus because he cares and can provide. And we're going to do something here. We're going to take the perspective for a moment of the crowd, and then we're going to switch and we're going to take the perspective of the disciples. And I want to think about what can we learn. What are some things we can learn from the crowd and from the disciples in the story? So we've talked about this a little bit already, but the crowd, what do we learn from them? One thing we learn from them is that you can follow Jesus anywhere. That we can trust Jesus wherever he might lead us, wherever we might go with him, that he's not going to let you drop dead in the wilderness. He actually cares for you and your soul. And this story points us to something beyond just the care of our physical needs, but actually this miracle is a sign of Jesus' ability to provide for our ultimate need. And one of the other feedings of Jesus, the 5,000, in John 6:35, Jesus says this. He says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Now he's talking about something beyond our mere physical need. He's saying that this sign is showing that as he provides the bread, that he is actually all that our souls need. He's the one who's going to give up his life on the cross. In going to the cross and giving up himself, he's saying, "I will give up my life for your salvation. For your hunger, I give my body. For your thirst, I give my blood." This is what we remember when we take the Lord's Supper communion, is that Christ has given himself for the ultimate salvation of our souls. That he would not let us drop dead in the wilderness, but seeing us in our desolate place, seeing us enslaved to sin and death, he himself will give up his life so that we might be satisfied and saved. And so we see in this feeding a confidence that we can have. You see, our confidence as Christians isn't just in the things that we have. It's not in the gifts that God gives us. I mean, it's not just that they ate this meal, but this meal is showing them that who Christ is someone who can provide for their every need. That Jesus is someone who truly has compassion. If we try and be secure in the gifts that we get from God, whether that be money, our career, our health, we'll be insecure. Because our health will fade. Our money will go up and down. We'll face challenges. But in this story, we see that Christ himself is the abundance we need. Everything that we need is in Christ. If our confidence is in Christ, we realize that he is with us and that all we need is truly in him, that he has provided what we ultimately need, which is salvation. So we can trust him that whatever hardship or difficulty that we go through, that he's going to get us through. He's not going to leave us to drop dead in the wilderness. He's going to give us what we need each day. And he's already shown that he cares for us at the cost of his own life. So that's one thing we learn from the crowd. He won't let us drop dead in the wilderness. And he won't let you drop dead in the wilderness today if you follow him. Whatever may come, you know he loves and cares for you and has compassion and has ultimately delivered you from the greatest dangers you could ever face. But let's flip it now for a second. What do we learn from the disciples? Imagine you're the disciples in this scene. You're following Jesus. You're out in the wilderness. And all of a sudden, there's this massive need. And you are overwhelmed. And you're wondering, how am I going to care for all these people? How am I going to care for the needs of this massive crowd? What can possibly be done? It seems daunting and overwhelming. But notice the way that Jesus provides. He takes what they have, the 7 loaves and a few small fish. He blesses, he thanks the Father for it. And then he gives it back to them to distribute. And so Jesus is the abundance. Jesus is the one who's providing everything that is needed. But what's quite astounding is that he actually allows his disciples to be part of it. He allows them to take what they have, and then he sends it back through them. And they are part of now ministering to the needs of others. And here's why this is important. When we think about the needs of others in our life, we know that Jesus provides for our needs, but he also provides for the needs of others. When we think about the needs of others, sometimes the needs of others seem daunting. Maybe you have a friend or a coworker, and you think about, okay, what's going on in their life? What are the challenges that they're facing in their family, in their mental health, in their financial situation? You just think, it's overwhelming. It's daunting. How could I possibly do anything to care for this person? How could I possibly love and care for maybe someone in your family? Because the needs feel so overwhelming. You look at crisis and challenges in the world, and it just feels like I can't do anything about these needs. See, what we remember in those moments is that it's not actually about what we have to offer, but the one we give it to. What's far more important is, who do we give what we have to? What happens when we give what we have to Christ? It's not about what we have, so it's about who we give it to. And the reality is that as the disciples were with Jesus here, Jesus too is with every Christian. This is what it means for us to be connected to Jesus through the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is alive and reigning today. We can sometimes think, man, if I was walking around with Jesus, there'd be miraculous things that would happen. And absolutely, we see miraculous things happening. Sometimes we can forget that Jesus said it's to our benefit that he goes away, because he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And actually, as you go out through your life today, it's not that you can go and merely follow the pattern of Jesus and meet the needs of others, but Jesus is with you. What you have to offer people is Christ. Jesus is with you today. It's through the Spirit that we are connected to Jesus who is living. And our hope when we encounter desperate needs in our own lives or in the lives of others is that Christ is actually able to meet on the deepest level the needs of others. And so we can take something small, like a prayer. And our prayer life can feel like it's small and insignificant. But think about who we pray to. We pray to the Father in the name of the Son through the Spirit. We have this access to the Father through Jesus. And it's through Jesus that he can take these small prayers of, God, will you help? Will you do something? Will you provide? And he can actually do something profound. It may be a small offering that you have, a small thing like a kind word and encouragement. Trying to live faithfully where the Lord's put you, trying to be a witness to someone. You think, is this really going to change things? The astounding thing is that Christ can impact the lives and fates and destinies of people through the small, meager acts that we do. And our hope as Christians is to be faithful in the small things that we do, believing that because Christ is with us, he can do profound things. That what we really offer people is not ourselves, but the power of God within us. The power of Christ in us. And if we didn't have Christ with us, we would have nothing to offer anyone. But because Christ is with us, when we see the needs of others and it's overwhelming, we can remember that Jesus is able to take the small, meager things we do and do profound things beyond what we could even ask or imagine through it. So we see in this story that Jesus is worthy of our trust. This miracle points to his abundance and his place as the Savior of the world. He's the Messiah, the chosen one. He's showing this by spreading a table in the wilderness. Yet really the challenge that we have to wrestle with is, do we believe this? Do we believe this about Jesus? Do we believe that he's sufficient for ourselves? Do we believe that he's sufficient for others? Do we believe that he satisfies what our souls truly need? One of the challenges that you see in this section of Mark is this constant struggle with understanding who Jesus is. Who is this Jesus? Right after this, notice what happens. He has an interaction with the Pharisees. Verses 11 to 13. He's gone. He's traveled by boat. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, seeking a sign from heaven to test him. So they're seeking to test him. And they're probably not seeking a sign. This isn't like a, hey, produce more bread. But like, authenticate that what you're doing is really from God. Show us that you are truly from God. By what power are you doing these things? They're saying, show us that you truly are who you say you are. Verse 12, and he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, Why does this generation seek a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. And he left them, got into the boat again, and went to the other side. You see, they're seeking a sign, but they don't believe. They come to him in a place of disbelief. And so we see the Pharisees seeing Jesus, hearing of what he's done. They don't believe. Verse 14, we see that even the disciples are struggling to understand. Verse 14, picking up there, it says, now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. Now they're in the boat, and they only have one loaf. If you think about what Jesus has been doing, the miraculous feedings, it's not really a big concern. Like one loaf, that seems plenty. Seven loaves, 4,000, one loaf for maybe Jesus and the disciples. You're going to be fine. You're going to have plenty of food. But they're still missing something. And Jesus warns them. He says, look out for the leaven. Think about leaven. It's yeast, the rising agent in bread that goes throughout. He says, beware of the leaven. What leaven? The leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Well, we've just seen the Pharisees and they don't believe. They're disbelieving. And this leaven, it seems to be this idea of beware of this disbelief, at least this. Beware the disbelief of these religious leaders and of Herod, a ruling leader. Beware of their disbelief because it spreads. It's contagious. But what we see in this story is it seems like some of the leaven got into the boat because they don't understand what Jesus is saying. He's warning them about disbelief and they're anxious about having enough bread. And you almost just want to ask the disciples, like, don't you get who's in the boat with you? You're in the boat with Jesus. Like, all you need is in the boat. You're going to be okay. Jesus is there. And so Jesus, in verse 17, we see him begin his question asking. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of broken pieces did you take up? They said to him, 12. This was the first miraculous feeding that he did. Then verse 20. And the seven for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? Twice they've seen this miraculous provision. Jesus is bringing about abundance in places of desolation. He's bringing about a feeding of his people. And he's saying, don't you get who I am? Don't you understand who's in the boat with you? They've seen it twice now, and they're still not seeing. They're still blind and deaf. What's fascinating is that in this section of Mark, right before this feeding in Mark 8, Jesus actually heals a deaf man. And after this, he's going to heal a blind man. And one of the things that we see is that Jesus is continuing to reveal and show himself to the disciples. They may be deaf and they may be blind, but he's going to reveal himself to them. And not long after this, Peter's going to say that you are the Christ. He's going to recognize, okay, Jesus, you are the Christ. Now, he's still going to need some work with shaping his view of what the Christ is, who the Christ is, but he's bringing them to understand. He's saying, do you not yet get it? And we want to ask the disciples, don't you get who's in the boat with you? But let's ask that question of ourselves. Like, do we not yet understand? Do we get who's in the boat with us? Do we know what it means to be connected to the living Jesus? Do we understand what we have in Christ? The abundance, the life that we have in him. The disciples were concerned about their bread, their daily need. Are we concerned about our bread? About money, career, grades? Are these anxieties overwhelming us? There's an invitation today to see something different in Christ that would give us a freedom from the daily anxieties, knowing the one who ultimately cares and provides for our souls. And we do. We struggle very often with the anxiety of life and the daily challenges. And what we're being offered an invitation into today is to see Christ differently. Do we understand who we're in the boat with? Do we understand who's being offered to us? See, Jesus is the one who won't let you starve in the wilderness. He would rather give up his own life than allow you to starve in the wilderness. He would give his very self for your satisfaction and salvation. And when we see the needs of others, we know that Christ is able to provide. And so wherever you come from today, whether you're in a place where you've never trusted Jesus or you've walked with Jesus for years, the invitation is to come to him and be satisfied. Whether you're overwhelmed by your own needs or the needs of others, the invitation is to see that all we need is in Christ. He is the abundance. He is the Messiah. He's the Savior, the one who satisfies our ultimate need, who would rather give up his own life than allow us to drop dead in the wilderness. And I want to end with John 6:35 again. I think it's just such a great verse of the invitation of Jesus for us. He says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst."